Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Joining me today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello.
You know, we just got back recently from the summit up in the Morningstar Ministries. You know, Pat and I had a great time, didn't we?
Yeah, it was awesome.
It was amazing. Although, you know, we were coming out of the Cracker Barrel in South Carolina.
Cracker Barrel.
Yes. And the Cracker Barrel.
Is he allowed to eat that?
He ate everything.
I ate everything. Was looking for fun of me.
Did he really?
He ate everything.
All of it.
Wow.
And there was this huge amusement park setting over here. I mean, it had all these different, I mean, you know, put him on camera right here so you can see the schedule. You know, he turned down.
What happened?
Tell us. Dude, just for Jonathan's sake, we need to go do this thing. And this,
Mako.
He used to be a football player.
Yes.
Although the only picture I have, he was on the bench. It didn't dawn on me until recently. He was on the bench.
I told you, look at him.
He was on the bench. And, he was like, oh, it makes me woozy.
We didn't have time. You know?
We
didn't have time.
Wow.
I mean, everybody has time for amusement park. I mean, I was going to, there was like five people. We could have been down like, you know, like Wally World. Remember? We're going to go on this ride. We're going to get on this ride. And so Molly Hope was touring the coat plant. We came to.
In the middle of Atlanta.
He's like a home impeachment, man. When you start.
Once
his nose turns towards home, man,
he was heading home.
Cruise control.
Ain't the man no more. So today we are going to be talking about more of the summit, what took place. It's going to be very encouraging. If you missed our last program, you need to catch it. It is questions and answers given and prophetic dream. Some by Rick Joyner, Morningstar Ministries, because we had the, you know, ISIS is in America dreams that came in September the 28th or so. And there was a dream September 27th that came to a Texan in Texas, because Texas is going to be one of the main focuses of what's going on in the Southwest for the crisis coming to America, and from Kechara Bradford. And you can hear and even read her dream on the Torch. Go to VFNTV.com. But now, be prepared. Just be prepared. Understand there's a pattern from the beginning of time. I mean, as soon as Adam and Eve, you know, fell and they sinned, God immediately began, even though there was consequences for the sin, God began a redemption plan immediately and said that your heel would crush the head of the serpent. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was immediate, you know, that this would happen and that your seed would crush the heel of the serpent. I mean, he began to already speak immediately about Jesus Christ coming and this pattern. So, you know, as we talked about in an earlier program where, you know, kids get put on six week suspension, or what do you call it?
Restriction?
House arrest.
No, house arrest.
No.
Wow.
Whoa.
Right. That was my experience.
Sorry,
no, right. They think, oh man, I'm not going to be able to do something for 6 weeks. The world's over as we know it, you know. And they really feel that it's over.
Oh, yeah.
Well, when the earth's being shaken, our economy potentially, you know, crash. Well, we talk about a prophetic dream given to Don. I was hoping to have Don on from Tampa. She was there. And Don, if you're listening this morning or watching today, that we still want to have you come on and share it. But just want to, in the context of what's happening right now, we'll make sure we get it out. And but these three symbols were coming up to a house, and they represented famine, financial crisis, and terrorism.
Right.
You know, coming up, you know, coming to our houses, which lines up with what, you know, Rick Joyner is hearing, lines up what Kechara Bradford's hearing in Texas, and a lot of others are hearing, and what we've been hearing. And some of the things that you'll hear also, and you go back and watch the previous program, which you can actually watch it too, by the way, at VFNTV.com. Just go watch the programs there. Is that, you know, martial law will be coming through this. We need to pray who that marshal is going to be. Who that marshal is going to be, and it could be good. God could put a marshal, you know, in martial law. And by the way, President George Washington used martial law. Martial law has always been there. It's in the Constitution. Sometimes you have to do that to protect people.
Yeah. But some of the civility.
Yeah. Yeah. And some of the most people to be protected from is not the left, as some people think, that are Christians. as much as it is for the far, far right, the extremists who go outside of the Constitution and outside the laws to be able to do things. And so martial law is only bad if the marshal's bad, right? So we could begin to pray for that. But you can find all the details on that in a previous program. And hopefully we'll get a chance to be able to talk about, you know, a question, and we've been trying to get to this, about, you know, who said it was the church's job to marry everybody? I mean, where did this come from? And I've always, and the Lord spoke to me, even the beginning of my ministry, it's not our job. You know, I'm even fearful to marry people that, you know, that anybody, because, I mean, most marriages are not making it.
Right.
And then if you look at the marriage that is happening, it's not a godly marriage. What's going on is not godly, meaning lined up in godly principles that's going on. And if you're just running around marrying everybody, then you're responsible for that as a man or woman of God. There was a season where ministers in America took responsibility and said, we're the cause of what's happening with marriage in America, because we're just marrying folks without counseling them and that type of thing. And then who said it's our job to marry anybody who's not a believer? There's no authority in the Word of God anywhere that says if you're a minister, you know, and you have to understand in regards to, you know, you're a minister because God says you are. The only thing the world can do is recognize that you are. God is the one that made you a minister, not a government or something of that nature, which means you got to revert back to what does God say. He didn't say go out there and do anything with unbeliever other than win them to Him or love them and meet their needs, but not to marry them. We have no authority. We have no authority in an unbeliever's life. We can, in regards to marrying them and that type of thing that I'm aware of in the Word of God and several things of that nature. So we'll talk about that as well, because I believe we're in a boat we are today, because we started stepping outside of our authority realm and started going into the world and telling the world what to do with marriage. And now we can't even get it right.
Right.
And if we get back to, you know, whatever the Bible tells us to do, it's difficult. I mean, it's not, I mean, to walk in a godly marriage, like God's word says to walk in marriage, it humbles you. It humbles you. And from what I read and what I understand and what I know, humility is actually a good thing, that we should be humbled in our relationship. And we should honor each other in our relationship. And there's a lot of out of order marriages in the American church as it is. And in regards to order, meaning in regards to God's word, not in regards to anything else. And so we'll talk about that, you know, hopefully get a chance to talk about that. And we didn't get a chance to mention earlier in our earlier program that it was on, I believe it was yesterday, about when the Q&A was coming by the urgent warning from Rick Joyner, a documentary that was done by the History Channel. And it's called, I believe, After Armageddon or something of that nature. And in no way whatsoever have we ever said, ever implying that Armageddon is here. I mean, we're just not doing that. What I presently see and what those that I'm hearing that are hearing is we're going to go through a time of discipline. And whether America stands or falls, it doesn't mean it's all over. It could mean it's over for America. But that, yeah, I even see America having a great awakening and going back to its original roots. But it feels, I mean, if you die in the judgment, and if you die in the discipline, I mean, you're going to the judgment seat of Christ. So a lot of people think, well, you know, I'll go through this and I'll repent later. It's like, you might not survive.
Right.
You know, some of the things that we've seen, this is going to be a great loss of life based on what we've seen. And for those folks, you know, whether it's us, whether it's whoever, that to be absent from the bodies, to be present with the Lord, to be present with the Lord. And so you want to be prepared at any moment. You should live your life anyway. This is not, it shouldn't be because of these circumstances. You should always, and if somebody's ministering to you and they're not telling you, they're telling you that you can be complacent in your sin and that you can walk in a life that, you know, maybe next week you can get right with the Lord. I mean, you just don't know. You just don't know. Nobody knows, you know, that tomorrow could be your day. I mean, today could be your day. You know, we think about, you know, some loved ones of ours just recently that nobody would have thought, a young man his life would have ended. But it's appointed once to die. And so, yes, the higher intensity of that reality because of what's coming is like going to war, for example. And the probability if you're going to be drafted into a war, it's much higher that you're going to go meet God soon. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And with tragedy coming and basically the things that we're seeing coming to America, you know, don't play anymore with God. You can't play with him. There is no such thing. There's nothing more probably offensive, you would think, to God than to act like you have a relationship with him when he's going like, I'm creator of the universe. I'm holding everything together. I'm giving you the air that you breathe. You're being a religious Pharisee here. You know, like, I love you. I want to walk with you, but you can't just... It's not faking a relationship. It's either authentic or it's not. It's either real or it's not. And it's not perfect. I mean, obviously it's not perfect. Understand, from the beginning of time, God made provisions for our imperfection and even dealt with what the issues inside of us at the cross. He redeemed us from that if we make him the Lord of our life and we begin to be his disciple, begin to walk and follow him. But with, you know, what does it look like when things shut down? If you ask your grandparents, you know, or great-grandparents, they can tell you some things. If you have some people that have come from other nations, I'm thinking about Haiti, you know, Sela in Haiti, you know, power is on every now and then, so you got to be able to do your, you know, your business during that time. And things start getting rationed and that. But this particular documentary is really, really good. We're going to make it available to you, at least a link to get to it, on the VFN Torch, and it's called After Armageddon. It just kind of documents, like, what would it be like if you're in a city and everything shuts down and now you can't grow things in concrete. And some of John Paul Jackson's prophetic words about all this was people are going to start pulling up the concrete asphalt in cities so they can get to the soil so they can begin to plant things. I mean, these things are happening. We have all that available to you, the perfect storm, all that stuff's available to you on the VFN Torch. But it helps you, you know, what does that look like? And most people wait to the last second, or they're just giving everything the benefit of the doubt. And if you're not ready to make that move, you might not ever be able to make that move. You need to plan in advance. If this happens, then we'll do this. If this happens, then we'll do this. So a lot of people thought during the hurricanes that they would just last moment, it looks pretty bad. It's 200 miles an hour. We're going to get on the road. We're going to go north, you know, from the Gulf Coast region. And they ended up spending the entire tragic hurricane on the interstate, stuck in traffic.
Wow.
Others thought they would just get a room. But the thing was, there was no hotel rooms available when they got to these places because other people thought ahead and they got a room. The difference between the person having a room and not having a room is one was a fool and one was prudent. The prudent man sees danger, God's word says, and prepares for it. A fool keeps going and suffers for it. If you wait too late, you know, it's a foolish thing to think you got more time when God's been downloading all this wisdom. And so the documentary is called After Armageddon. And we're no way talking about this is Armageddon. We're just saying it just helps you go through these scenarios of, you know, what it looks like. You know, all of a sudden you don't have things that you can so easily go get right now. You can go so easily go to the store, get you some antibacterial or some tropical, triple antibiotic, a couple tubes of that, and some penicillin and some Band-Aids and some water and things like that. Because if you get a cut and there's no doctor to give you a shot for about 90 days because things shut down for about 90 days, and if they're trying to meet everybody's need in an entire nation, it's not going to be like a hurricane where all these resources come to you. It's going to be overwhelmed and a lot of lawlessness. And we're going to go to a break, but this is one of the huge things that stands out through all this particular documentary they did was, you know, because you remember, America is the richest nation in the world. If you've grown up in it, we don't realize just how rich we are until we go somewhere else. Our poorest person in America is richer than like 70% of the world's population. That's how rich America is. And this is the statement they say in this documentary. Rich people are nice until they're not rich anymore. And so you can't think people are going to act the same way they act now. Then when crisis comes, I'm going to add this one thing. I remember we were going through times of hurricanes and Pat was, Pat, well, you just don't even know. And you're getting this line and to be able to get gas, you know, is this an ice line? Or is this a gas line? These different kinds of things. And some people just totally got on like the gas line or something and just totally, it was terrible, right?
Yeah.
What happened?
Well, I accidentally cut in front of somebody.
What?
Oh, you cut in front
you
of someone?
You did what?
Yes.
Wow.
An accident.
Wow.
And you must have thought I'd, you know.
Right.
You know, something tragic. and they about got out of their car and was coming after me.
Wow.
Yeah, they were pretty upset.
And I I was waving them down. If that would have known that would happen, I just wouldn't just let you drive on by. But it's just weird because you don't know. There was like people just get in lines because there's a line there.
Mm-hmm.
But you have two cars going side by side, but they're in two different lines. One was in a line for ice. One was in a line for gas. You know, one's in a line for, you know, material to be able to fix a house.
These are long.
These are long lines.
Long lines. I have no idea what they are.
And, but you can be prepared now and you won't have to do that.
Yeah.
That is the whole thing. Here's another scenario just to think about this. All gas will be there. Well, imagine you're sitting there. You have no fuel. You're sitting on empty because you didn't prepare. And the guy in front of you, he didn't prepare either, but he's the one at the pump. And so he fills his number one tank up on his truck, his number two tank up on his truck. He's got like a 55-gallon drum on the back of his truck. He's got five-gallon gas cans, and you have 400 people waiting to get gas back there, and there's only so much gas in that tank. There's probably going to be so much friction, a spark could happen, he may lose all the gas in that tank. I mean, these are things that happen.
Yeah.
But a prudent man sees danger. Here's what the Lord says. Here's, he says, that God, a storm is being fashioned, but if you'll warn the people, they'll be able to be prepared and they'll be able to make it through this because they responded. And sometimes even the storm will stop when God's people repent. More we get back from the break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Are you or someone you know having difficulties hearing? If you answered yes, then maybe it's time to contact the professional staff at Ears to Hear Hearing Center, where they improve the quality of life for the hearing impaired and their families by testing and fitting and dispensing the best hearing aid for the patient's hearing loss, lifestyle, and budget. Three convenient locations on the Gulf Coast to serve your needs. Don't miss one more word. Call today and be on your way to enjoying the gift of hearing.
The $50 Eye Guy here with some eye-tastic news. Now, two locations to better serve you, so when buying your next pair of eyeglasses,
come see my dad, the $50 Eye Guy. $50 Eye Guy.
This is Focus on the Family Minute. Former NFL coach Tony Dungy shares with Focus president Jim Daly about an important principle of a committed, loving relationship.
Tony, something you have said the whole time that I have heard you on this program, it's laying your life down.
Yeah, Christ gave himself for the church. That was his whole mission, to make the church perfect. And so that's really our job as men. We don't always see it that way. I'm there to help my wife be the best that she can be. And if I look at it that way, that's going to solve a lot of things in finances, in children, in parenting, in sexuality. I have to understand that. And that's not the way we look at it. But that's Christian marriage, Christian principles.
Tony Dungy offers more powerful perspectives about strengthening your marriage today at FocusOnTheFamily.com/radio.
John, do you know the VFN TV app is out, right? I think it's 4.0, man.
4.0.
That is so cool. And they're doing a wonderful job at designing it and putting it together. And everything that we're saying and doing is available now on the VFN TV app. All you got to do is go to your app store, type in VVictor, VFN TV, and it just shows up. Or you can go to VFNTV.com and click on the appropriate store, whichever one you actually have your phone with. But it's so important. You can listen to highlights. You can listen to the programs. You can listen to us live. We're live 24-7, 7 days a week. And some encouraging words, any prophetic words that are coming out, you know, God's news behind the news. It's not enough to know the news. You need to know what to do with the news you know. Listen, get the app. It's totally free, by the way. Go to your app store and find it today. Just type in VFN TV. It'll pop up. Download it for free or go to VFNTV.com.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. Well, believe it or not, fireballs are falling from heaven. Balls of fire are falling from heaven. And we're going to show you a video of that in just a moment. And the reason why that stands out to me, one was, you know, ABC News was talking about it just recently. Sodom and Gomorrah kind of rings a bell, you know, in regards to that's what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah. But Jonathan, a young man named Jonathan, had a dream. And in this dream, he'd shared it with me on October the 7th or a little bit after October 7th. And because God was just really speaking to us and several, we had a prophetic prayer gathering where we were just praying and hearing from God. And what's really what's very interesting about those kind of things is that you had people that understood and that were broken and they were hearing, and you had some other folks who just didn't even, it was just, it was amazing. It's like, we got to be somebody who's aware, you know, what's going on. But, and so we were talking about some different things that were happening at that very moment, what God was saying and some of these prophetic warnings. And now we see this great increase that's going on. And I kind of took what, you know, he said here, that, you know, maybe that means this or maybe it means that, until I actually saw a fireball fall from heaven. So this is what on October the 7th, he had this prophetic dream, and he says, you know, I was in my front yard. This is a prophetic dream. I was in my front yard, and there was giant balls of white hot magma coming out of the sky. So you're looking at, you know, molting. I mean, you could think of a meteor basically coming in, but he was saying, you know, magma coming out of the sky. So you can imagine there's fireball coming out of the sky. And he said, I had a sword in my hand and a shield in my hand, which, you know, prophetically, that's the word of God. Faith is our shield, the shield of faith. He talks about that, by the way, in Ephesians chapter 6. And then he says, these balls of magma were ripping through the houses and trees and were setting things on fire. I was using my shield, which is faith, to block these balls of magma that were going to hit me. That's when I woke up. And so, you know, whether it's, you know, what we're talking about and prophetic, what's going to happen in the world, what may happen in America, I kind of took it prophetically that, yeah, things are happening and fill the, he says, you can block all the fiery darts. That's what he says. You can block all the fiery darts of the evil one in Ephesians chapter 6. By your shield of faith. And so here you get these fiery balls. You could call them fiery darts, fiery balls coming down, and he was able to defend himself with his shield. But then there was an actual fiery ball coming from. You got to see this video. Ooh. For those that are actually listening to us on VFN Radio, go to VFNTV.com and the torch, and you can see this video. And of course, those that are watching right now on VFN TV and the Christian Television Network, you're about to see. And I want you to look at this house. And watch in the upper right-hand corner, the back of this house, you're going to watch this fiery ball come out of the sky. Let's do it a couple times so you can see this thing. Isn't this amazing?
Wow.
I wish we could have had it a little bit slower, but you're looking at when I saw that, and then you're looking, this was just happened. I don't know what day he put this up.
October 20th.
It was October 20th. This is October 20th when all these things were happening. He actually has this prophetic dream on October the 7th, and you're thinking, I mean, it all fits. Yes, spiritual attack, fiery balls. Homes are going to be, I mean, if we don't turn our heart to God, our homes are going to be ripped apart. Or there may be people in your home ripping your home apart because they're not for God. And you have, he says, even in your own home, There'll be people that are adversarial towards God, and you'll have enemies even in your own home. And so I was thinking that way. But then I see a fiery ball coming out of heaven, and you just start wondering, and you can find out more and see that on the VFN torch. But it's pretty interesting. And those that don't know it, just understand, you know, what God's word says in Acts chapter 2. He says, in the last days, I'm going to pour out my spirit on all flesh. And we'll have dreams, we'll have visions, you know, these things will happen. And so God speaks to us, and every dream is not of God. And every vision, not necessarily of God. But when God does speak through a vision or dream, it is him. Job 33 comes right out and says, God does speak to a man, speaks to him in his sleep, in his deep sleep. He warns him about his consequences in his future if he doesn't turn. But if he does return, he says, an angel standing beside my bed has warned me and told me, and his flesh is renewed like a babe.
Mm.
Think about that. It's everything stops. If we understand the basis of God is just so in love with you. I mean, he loves us. And he will use hardship as, I mean, consider, not use, consider hardship as discipline. You know, God is treating us as a son. He's wanting to bring us to a place of repentance so we can bring us into a place of redemption so that we could be with him forever. That's how much he loves us.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he just, and then so when you see that viewpoint and you start seeing these things, and it's like, here this man in Job 33, he was in rebellion, he was in sin, he was doing all these different things, but God still sends somebody by his bedside to warn him, to tell him. And this man took the warning, just like Nineveh did when Jonah warned them. And this man, when he said, you know, I've sinned, I've done wrong, I'm going to do what's right, all the sickness, his death sickness that was on him, totally lifted, and says his flesh was renewed like a babe's. You know what I'm saying? And that's just our God is just so full of love. And so we need to really remember when we're going through difficult times, we got to ask ourselves, you know, am I in error? Am I just saying that I'm a Christian, but I'm really not? You know, do I say that I'm a Christian with my mouth, but my actions and life deny that I am? You know, my fruit says that I'm not. And you can be. It's very simple. As a matter of fact, you can go to meetmyfather.org. And read our testimonies, you know, a little bit about our testimonies, how we met God through his son, Jesus Christ. And you can be a Christian today and begin to abide with him, spend time with him. And we even have a simple plan for that. You can go to iabide.org. We've got a simple plan waiting for there for you. It's a free plan. And also think about this, you know, if I love him, I care about what he has to say. I want to know the designer and creator of life, what was his design? Created for his pleasure, for his company, for to be in company with him. I said, what do I do? He's like, hey, just become his disciple. Go to Multiply Movement, and there's a simple way for you to walk your way and how to know things about God's thoughts towards you and what you need to do. When we get back, we're going to talk about more about the summit, what was said, freshly back, and it's very encouraging when we get back from the break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
We'll give a big shout out to all of our television network out there. We're just very thankful for you and encourage everyone to think about supporting local Christian television. And one way you can do that with VFN TV and the daily radio program is visit our sponsors. And, you know, shop with them, encourage them, and become a partner, because that's the way we help make it all happen.
That's right.
How it happens. And we're thankful for all those that are standing with us today and become a sponsor. I mean, think about this. Of all the things that you could be doing as borders are being overpoured by the sea of humanity, as leaders are going to play golf and do fundraisers.
Mm.
As the church is, they're trying to minimize, hide the cross, hide statues of Jesus, pull prayer out of schools, mess marriage, all these different things. I mean, I think it's bad. I mean, I enjoy the Bass Pro Shop. I mean, I really do. And hey, if you want to become a sponsor, you know, you can. But understand this. This is where you need to put your dollar under the eyes of God. This is what the Word of God says. He says, the eyes of the Lord go to and fro, seeking someone whose heart is dependent upon him. And right now, understand 24/7 VFN TV and the daily radio program, we're putting it out there. We are putting it out there. Nobody is putting it out there in the context of what we're doing. And God's speaking. I mean, we're having dreams and visions, and we're actually sharing other prophetic words and dreams and visions. But who's doing that? And we don't apologize for it.
Nope.
We're thankful for it. We want to know what God has to say. And we'll allow God to interpret that to you. And we even, not only that, we even make it available to you continually by going to VFNTV.com. If you saw a program or missed a program, or you want to share a program, or you want to go deeper into a program, it's all right there. It doesn't go away. It's right there on VFNTV.com. And when you go there, you'll actually see sponsors that are standing with us. Visit them. Click on those banners. Say thank you. Send them an email. Or become one today.
We found another way how you can stay connected with VFN Radio. It's the Torch newsletter. Every week, the Torch goes out into your email, whether it's on your phone, tablet, or home PC. The Torch newsletter is going to give you the best of the best of VFN Radio for that week. It's also going to give you all the latest highlights. Of course, you can sign up by going to VFNTV.com and selecting newsletter sign up, or you can text VFNTV at 22828 and type in your email address. Sign up for the Torch newsletter now.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. Just speaking a little bit about the summit and what took place in South Carolina at Morningstar. We're going to just, you know, begin to share. We've been sharing. We're going to continue to share. This is going to give you, I think, some perspective and encourage you as it did us and remind us. Maybe you know this already, but there's a thing about ourselves. We have to be reminded over mm-hmm. and over and over again. Remember, the gospel has been written down for quite some time, but yet we're preaching on it, you know, every single day.
Mm-hmm.
And still, like, Lord graces us to be able to learn again. But there was this little boy, this story was told there that really kind of drives home who we are. We're people of faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. This little boy had this little dog he was scared of. He was so scared of this little dog that he just believed this dog can hurt him. And so every time this dog would come around, yap, 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 you know, that sort of like Pat's little dog, the little small dog. And he just convinced this dog could hurt him. And all of a sudden, he was going to being brought out there by someone. And when he saw that dog coming after him, yapping, he jumped up in the back of the truck to be able to keep from, you know, in his mind, being harmed from this dog. And so the concept of this story is to let us know that that dog did not put him in the truck. The dog's not big enough to do anything. The dog could not even hurt him. The little boy put himself in the back of the truck. What he believed about that dog put him in the back of the truck. What he believed, no matter what people said, no matter the reality of what was going on, what he believed would happen from this dog who couldn't hurt him at all, put him in the back of the truck and got him off the ground, got him away from the dog. And right now, you have a choice to believe lies. You have a choice to believe that your fears and all these different things, and God's saying, these things can't hurt you. You don't fear the person who can only destroy the body. You know, fear God who can destroy the soul and the body. Mm-hmm. And these things can't hurt you. When you know, you're constantly, the devil's just lying continually to you. He's constantly, so he's a liar and he's the father of lies. And he uses people to confirm those lies quite often. But God is a truth bearer. He tells the truth about you. And so, you know, if you believe those lies, that this little boy believed the lies that this particular dog could hurt him, now, he will tell you all day long, this dog is my fault. This dog is my fault. This dog is my fault. But you know plain as day that dog can't hurt him. But he doesn't know that. And so you'll hear people go, oh, my boss. Oh, my boss. Oh, my spouse. Oh, my spouse. Oh, my money. Oh, the country. All this kind of stuff. And they're making all these decisions based on what they believe. Even though it's not true, they believe it's true. And it puts them in the back of the truck. It puts them in places that they don't need to be. It keeps them in jobs they shouldn't be there anymore. Or it brings them out of a job they should have stayed. It brings them out of a relationship they should have stayed in, or brings them into a relationship they should have never been in. I mean, all these different things. And it's like, you know, we're supposed to walk by faith. And when God says that things can't harm us, in the context of knowing that if we're following God and we're his disciple, that, you know, no matter what happens, you know, God's got our back. Even Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when they were taking them to the fire, they said, yeah, you know, we could die in this fire, but and our God could deliver us from it. We have no doubt that our God can deliver us. But even if he doesn't deliver us, you know, we're okay with it. We're okay with it. You have no control over, you know, this little barking dog, Nebuchadnezzar, is not going to put any fear in us, because our God that we serve, he is the God who created fire, you know. And when they threw them into the furnace because they wouldn't bow down to the system that they had, then guess what? God chose to deliver them, and they walked around in this fiery furnace, and the fire didn't bother them. Jesus was actually in there with them in this fire, and when they came, they walked out of the fire. Think about it. They walked out of the fire, and they didn't even smell like smoke. And immediately what happened, because they did not bow down, they didn't jump on the back of the truck, they didn't believe all these lies that people are believing, that Nebuchadnezzar changed his constitution. He changed the law of the land. He said, we will acknowledge the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. How many people today, you know, don't understand that if we quit believing, if we keep believing the lies of the enemy, then these Nebuchadnezzar mindsets are going to continue on. But if we stand up for God, who is over all things, and quit getting in the back of somebody's truck, you know, when something happens, and walk boldly and confidently, this is really surprise you, because you don't hear this much. But, you know, if you look who gets into heaven, you know, a lot of people talk about certain sins. This sin gets you out, that sin keeps you out. And, you know, there's a lot of those. There's a lot more than that. But one of the things that he says who doesn't get into heaven, the very first thing he mentions is cowards. Mm-hmm. I mean, think about it. You know, I want to encourage you. You know, maybe you've been taught by cowards. You know, maybe people have been around you and they say, listen, this is the cowardice response. And, you know, and if this happens, you know, coward over here. And if they persecute you, you know, just cower down and don't ever bring Jesus up again. You know, if your spouse gives you a hard time because you honor God with the first fruits and tithes and offer, just cower down and don't do that anymore. You know, if reading the Bible, you know, causes your family to be upset, just cower down and don't read the Bible anymore in your house. You know what I'm saying? They just, everything's cowered down, and somebody counsels you and says, that's okay. But when you read the Word of God, he says, cowards don't enter in. That's huge. That's really huge. I mean, all the things that we should be concerned about is that, you know, we have to be willing to stand up. I think about Tiananmen Square years ago when this one particular, a whole bunch of folks were standing up against the Chinese government. But there was one man that actually stood in front of the tanks. There was a tank in front of him at Tiananmen Square, and they're either going to have to run over him or they're going to have to go around him. And every time the tank would move this way, he would stand over there and make sure he was in front of it. The tank would move this way, he would stand over in front of it. In other words, you got to run me over. If that's what you want to bring these tanks to, you got to run me over. I mean, how many people, you know, would say, you know, just go ahead, it's over, you know, just cower down. Mm-hmm. And if you're in the military, I mean, imagine if you were in a troop and the captain says charge, and all of a sudden, I don't know, imagine Iraq's military. You know, imagine Saddam Hussein's military. I mean, they all just started running. You look at Iraq's military recently when ISIS came in, they threw their guns down and they just ran. And they interviewed him, like, why did you do that? I said, I was only here for a paycheck. I wasn't going to really do anything. But how many people who call themselves Christians, somebody's told you that being a coward is, you know, and it does take a lot of courage. And we go through times of crisis, you know, and you can't, faith is about being sure and certain that no matter what, you got to lay it all down. This is what Jesus said. He said, this is what Jesus that many profess. This is what he said, because he said, you honor me with your lips, but your heart's far from me. In other words, it's just lip service. But if we really have our heart with him, he says, this is what you do. You pick up your cross, not my cross. You pick up your own cross. You deny yourself. In other words, there's nothing everything can go, whatever, it's all God's. And then you follow me. He even says this, he says, you know, that if we're not willing to give up everything, it doesn't necessarily, but sometimes it does. It doesn't mean it's like, okay, I'm going to give everything away I have away. But in your heart, you have to. It's no longer yours anymore. He says, unless you're willing to give up everything, you can't even be my disciple. I mean, you think about the treasure when he talks about the kingdom of God is like a man who finds a pearl. It's like a precious pearl in the middle of this field, this treasure, you know. And so he goes with excitement and goes and sells everything he's got to be able to buy this, I won't end this kingdom. And so it's more of a commitment than we've been hearing much in America today. And we have to understand the commitment didn't change. We changed. It is a definite commitment that I'm giving him all of me. And when you see the rich young ruler, and I know we're supposed to go to break, but the rich young ruler, you know, this guy had been very religious. I mean, he did all the stuff. I mean, if that was a Christian, a professing Christian today, he would say, you know, I've been going to church for 20 years and everything the pastor told me to do, I'm doing it. I mean, everything but one thing. So he comes up to Jesus and he says, you know, what must I do to be saved? And so Jesus says, you know, and tells him two or three things from the Ten Commandments. And he goes, I've done those. I've done them, you know. But then, of course, Jesus, knowing our heart, he knew there was one particular thing with him he needed to deal with, because he was a rich young ruler. For him, go sell everything you have and give it to the poor. That's not for everybody to do that, but for him it was, because watch what happens. And he walked away from God. Think about it. He walked away from God sad because he had many things. He wasn't going to give up that one thing. What is the one thing that you said you're not going to give up? What I presently see right now with American church, we're like the rich young ruler. I mean, if 97% of us, according to George Bonner, are not even honoring God with a tenth, with the tithe, I mean, you know we're not going to give up everything. If we won't even give up what's his, if we're robbing from him what's his, you know we're not going to give ours. And God blessed Abraham to be a blessing. He blessed Abraham so that all the nations of the earth could be blessed. Not so Abraham has all this stuff. In America, what's being preached is that, you know, God's blessed you so you can have more stuff and you can be happier and you can be fuller and more stuff for you and things. And he says, no, he's blessing us to be a blessing. The first thing we should do is like, how can I bless others with what God's blessed me with? What can I do with this authority? What can I do with this technology? What can I do with these funds? What can I do with my life? He blesses us to be a blessing to others. You know why? Because God loves all mankind. And he wants them to know that he exists and that he loves them. So I just want to encourage you today that, you know, we're about to face some times. Maybe even now you're thinking about, maybe you're hanging around a whole bunch of people that, you know, cowarding down is something they do. You have a cowarding down club. You'll come together like, oh my goodness, you know, lions, tigers, and bears. I know. Read the Bible. Become a disciple of Jesus Christ. Go to Multiply Movement and begin walk through this discipleship process, like 27 encounters that just takes you deeper in the Word of God. Begin to eat and digest that and begin to realize, you know what? I've got to quit being such a coward. I've got to stand up for what's right. And you will get flack for it. I mean, you will get flack for the ones, there's spirits on some folks that just are driven by the adversary, and they will try to press you down and press you back and intimidate you like Nebuchadnezzar did to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But you're standing before God. You cannot leave God and walk away like the rich young ruler and expect that you're going to have eternity with God. You can't get in like that. And we make that decision now. So I just want to encourage you. I just pray the Lord would just encourage your faith and to stir you, and you would be connected, you know, stay connected to VFN TV, the daily radio program. Begin to listen, you know, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, even if you download our app. But we just want to encourage you. We want to build your faith. We want to give you wisdom. We want to shine light on your circumstances, so that you can be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. And just like Jonathan in his dream, when fiery darts and fiery balls are coming, that you'll have a sword of the Spirit and you'll have the shield of faith, and you'll be able to defend yourself from all these things like a strong, faithful believer, and not being cowardice like so many people today, you know, are doing. God bless. More after this break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Are you or someone you know having difficulties hearing? If you answered yes, then maybe it's time to contact the professional staff at Ears to Hear Hearing Center, where they improve the quality of life for the hearing impaired and their families by testing and fitting and dispensing the best hearing aid for the patient's hearing loss, lifestyle, and budget. 3 convenient locations on the Gulf Coast to serve your needs. Don't miss one more word. Call today and be on your way to enjoying the gift of hearing.
The $50 I Guy here with some eye-tastic news. Now, 2 locations to better serve you, so when buying your next pair of eyeglasses,
come see my dad, the $50 I Guy. $50 I Guy.
It is amazing how this is all working. It's people just like you, friends like you, that stand with us and understand, you know, we've got to make a difference in our generation, that stand with us prayerfully and financially, to just partner on a monthly basis, to financially build a foundation that where we can carry this message not only to the nation of America, but to the nations of the world. It's amazing how so many people are being encouraged by a simple gift of a few dollars a month, $25 a month, $50 a month, whatever it is. And you know what? Together, if you're having difficulty in how to present the gospel to this generation, partner with us, and we together at VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program will bring the gospel to this nation, and this nation, by God's grace, to the Lord. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. VFNTV.com and click on giving.
I am Greg Lancaster. I'm looking at a freshly shaved Pat over here.
Very fresh.
How are you doing today?
Lighter.
My day's tomorrow. They are getting new string for the weed eater. And
dude, I was so desperate. I actually let somebody else do it because my lady wasn't there.
That's desperate.
I was desperate.
Did you let Tracy cut it?
No. Older lady. I don't think she could see real good. I got like a hole here, hole here.
No, it's called humility.
And I got a scar. And a scar.
I'm just saying. Let's have it. I think we have scars in all the same places.
Same exact places. On my shin, on my head.
Everything you said about me, right?
Oh, Lord, I repent.
I'm smart. You know, I'm intelligent.
Right.
So say some stuff. Say some positive stuff.
There you go.
That's all right.
Sweet. You can't see.
I'm smart and intelligent.
And beautiful.
The audience is shouting. He's beautiful too. He's beautiful too.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light. With your host, Greg Lancaster.
Admiral Stockdale, a prisoner of war for something like 7.5 years. Mm. Think about that.
Wow.
7.5 years as a prisoner of war. And he wrote a book, and he talks about, you know, how do you survive in being a prisoner of war? Because normally, of course, that's not the best living quarters, especially like in Vietnam and things that were going on, just to be in the... Be an admiral with your troops was bad. Yeah. You can imagine being locked down. But either way, so what they noticed was the battle was not on the outside. The battle was on the inside. How do you survive in this whole thing of captivity? Because it's not like, okay, you serve 2.5 years as a POW, then you're released. I mean, this is, you don't know when it's going to end type thing that goes on, right? And so what they found out, that it has to do with the mind. You know, we talk about that quite often, about the battle is in the mind. You know, we got to remember that the enemy wages war against the law of our mind, and that we take authority over our thoughts. But they noticed something that when they were in, you know, as a POW with other prisoners of war right there, was what was the attributes of the ones who could survive and the ones who didn't survive? And this is really interesting, but I can really see it. The longer I live, the more I can really see this. That the ones who had the most difficult time and the ones who didn't make it were the ones who were optimists. You know, the optimists, that they would always say things like, you know, it looks like this is what's about to happen, and, you know, this is going to happen, and then, you know, you're going to have gold, and that's not what they're saying, but you hear it now where people are going like, you know, then this is going to happen, and you're going to, you know, pennies from heaven are going to come down, and you're going to have the best job in town, and your family's going to serve God, and of course, that doesn't happen. And then over and over again, they would set themselves up for these disappointments. And they became defeated. Because they didn't have a long-term range, a long-term view. It's like, no matter what happens in this, that, you know, we're going to survive this. And then you need a long-term view. You have to understand, and truly, you know, what's been preached in America, a lot of things that have been preached is short-term, optimistic, you know, messages. And, too, you got to admit it, too, that that's what the people demand.
Oh.
You know, because if you preach the truth, straight from the words of God, our response quite often will be the same as what happened to Jesus. Yeah. I mean, he had a huge crowd around him, and he taught the truth, and they didn't think it was too optimistic.
No.
Because he said, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you can have any part of me. And everybody left except 12. And he even looked at them. He said, "What are you going to?" He didn't say, "Hey, please stay," and try to give some optimistic viewpoints. Like, right. It'll get better. He said, "What about you? You're going to leave too." That's what he said. And of course, he said, "You know, Jesus." Peter says, "Where else can I go? You got the keys to eternal life." Judas says, "There's money in this." Right?
Wow.
Right. I guess. I don't know what he said, but I know what he did.
Mm.
And so you never want to confuse faith that you'll win in the end with the discipline you'll need to confront by the adversaries in your present day situation. I mean, things are going to happen, but you'll win in the end. We're not living for momentary glory. We're not living for a week. We're not living for a month. We're not living for a year. We're living for eternity. And that's that. And for us, that is the end. We win in the end. And so, you know, some things work out and some things don't work out. Sometimes they don't work out because we screwed it up. You know, we did something wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
he
and
so,
so
he hears.
So, we hear.
So he hears.
Now, we've all done those things, right? And then sometimes they don't work out because the people don't respond. It wasn't that you were wrong. It's not that you didn't hear God. It's the people just like Nazareth to Jesus. They just said, no, we don't want anything to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot let those ups and downs. You have people, the harvest is plentiful, but the people who will come alongside you to help you gather the harvest, they're few. You can't let that get you down because there's no help. I'm seeing people that have labored for years, for decades, and they still just have a handful of people that might help them if everything goes right in their life. This is your individual story with God. This is your storyline. This is your vapor. This is your moment. God has a story, and he's allowing us to be in it, but he is the subject of the story. It's about him, and we want to be able to play our role in there. And what they found out as prisoners of war is these people who would go, you know, start setting timelines like, okay, let's talk about 2 more weeks. Let's talk about 3 more weeks. And timelines come and timelines go, and this would defeat them, and it also would defeat others who heard them. And at the summit, you know, Rick Joyner was talking about how the Lord spoke to him about this, that people who set timelines are people with a religious spirit. They'll project, they'll look at you and measure you by timelines, and they themselves won't do anything because they don't see how, you know, it could be done in a certain timeline. Or if they do it and they start moving, they're defeated in a while because they had this timeline in their head that's going to happen by this time or that time. You know, we just recently had a situation where, you know, somebody had fallen into sin, and we wanted to be able to help redeem them and cover them, you know, and bring them to a particular place. And that's what we're supposed to do, restore each other in love. And, you know, some people say that it should be this long and that long and this time. And the truth is, there is no timeline set in the Word of God. That it's just ever how it is. Mm-hmm. I mean, people may fall, and the pain of the fall may cause them to live the rest of their life in just this victorious way. And they realize that they won't ever want to do that again. Some other people, it could take them 10 years, 20 years. I mean, you don't know. But it wasn't a 10-year time frame. It just took that person that long to get it right. You know what I'm saying? And so if it takes somebody 10 years to get something right, don't have all this timeline all of a sudden. It's like, everybody, you got to have 10 years. And it's like, no, he was just a fool. It took him 10 years because he just finally agreed with God in 10 years. But people, you know, this is what Rick Joyner was saying at the summit. The Lord had made known to him was, because you can't look in the Word of God and say, there's timelines for this. It's not in the Word. You know, he just says, go and sin no more. Mm-hmm. He says, you know, drop your nets, I'll make you fishers of men. Get busy. This is what we're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he was with them 3.5 years, and he said, you got it, I'm out of here. And so you're saying, you need at least a good 4 years of this and 10 years of that. And it's like, no, you need to get busy. You need to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. You need to get rightly related to the body. A disciple means we're following his word, not our word or doctrines of men. And we need to abide with him and begin to obey him. And sometimes God, you know, could not give you a release, you know, for 36 months or for 4 months and something. But it wasn't a time frame that was set. It's just something that God knows us, and he knows when things are done. So we have to pay attention to what God's doing. Sad to say, it looks like this particular person didn't meet either one of those. but that's exactly the word was. Because some people will immediately begin to judge something who are religious and say, well, you should have put a time frame on something. It's like, no, you just got to watch. You just got to see. You got to hear from God. Because every one of us, by the way, if you don't notice, every one of us are subject to fall. Every one of us can make a mistake. And he says, when you see your brother, you know, Galatians 6, who's fallen, you know, gently restore him. But be careful, lest you fall, right?
You who are spiritual.
Yeah, and what's so cool about, and we're coming to an end of the summit and the Morning Star where they're at, they redeemed the Jim Baker's ministry and land. The whole land is being redeemed, every bit of it. They're down to the last train depot is what's left to do in regards to funding. But everything else has been either transformed or funded to be transformed. And God is about redemption. He is about redemption. And so we have to be careful and realize, let's just look at this thing in the long run. You know, we're going to go through some stuff, but don't let what we go through, you know, break our faith. It says, you know what? I'm going to have some ups and some downs, some things that I may cause, but there's grace for that. There's some things is how people respond or what the season, the economy, what's happening. But in the end, I fear the one who actually holds my heart, my soul, my life, and eternity in his hand. And that's, we all win with that end. God bless.
We want to give special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com. On your mobile applications, you can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless. Family. Did you know that God has called us to be family? We're called to be the family of God. It's Father God. It's not like King God. It's Father God. And Jesus is our elder brother. Yes, he's our Lord and our Savior, but he's the firstborn. He's the head of the church. He's our elder brother. We are not, we're heirs of God, not heirs of Jesus. We're joint heirs with Jesus.
That's right.
We're family. We're sisters and brothers. That's why we're supposed to love each other. The family of God. I remember Jesus was sitting around with his disciples in a house, by the way, and he's teaching them about the things of God. Mm-hmm. And his biological mother, Mary, and brother comes to the house, and they're knocking on the outside of the door. And they said, and of course, they're talking to each other. Mary and her son's talking and says, oh, my goodness, Jesus has lost his mind. They really thought Jesus has lost his mind.
That's right.
They lost his mind, and he hasn't eaten. He's been a long time since he's eaten. We need to go rescue him. We need to rescue him from his ministry because he's lost his mind. Don't you know this is supposed to happen in a temple, not in a house? And this goes on. And then Jesus, of all the things he said, this is very important. He said, you know, somebody comes out and said, yo, your mom was outside. You know? And yo, sir. No, yo, your mom's outside. And so Jesus stops and he pauses. He looks at the disciples and he's talking to them. He says, listen, let me tell you who the family of God is. Mm. Let me tell you who my mother and my brother is. Those who do the will of my Father. Yes. Oh, more than anything, you want your biological family to follow God. But the truth is, you have no control over them. You tell them the truth and you honor their decision. Listen, the true family of God is those who follow his teachings, that have a desire to follow Jesus. See, the church is a family.
get into your right now where you're at and your fellowship. Say, listen, we need to start being family.
Mm-hmm.
And if people just still relate to you like sand, like organizations, like an orphanage, you know, just get your food, sit down, shut up, don't know nobody. Listen, find a fellowship that functions as family. Maybe Vine Fellowship Network's for you. Maybe there's a church in your area. Maybe God has planted in your heart. So, you know what? I want to begin this in my own city. Check it out. VineFellowshipNetwork.org, where we're loving God, loving others, and leading others to do the same.